The good, the bad, and the ugly of professional wrestling go under the spotlight once again here on Earning the Push as we talk spectacular crowds, banging matches, potentially career-ending injuries, and loads more. I'm Jack Murley, professional broadcaster. He is Charlie Beckett, professional rugby player. We're back again, Mr. Beckett. How goes the week?
Yes, good week. Thank you. Good week. How has yours been?
It's been good. The sun is out. Wrestling is hot, as it always has been for the past few weeks, months, years that we've been talking about it. No hay fever as of yet, even though I was anticipating it. I cannot complain.
Happy days as he whacks his microphone with his arm in the joy of not having hay fever.
Professional broadcaster smacks the mic out the way and sends reverb round. Man, what a week. We have got so much to get into. Backlash in France, Kenny Omega revealing injury issues that could be career-ending, anarchy at the arena, a King of the Ring qualifying set of matches that was almost exactly made for you. Some of these the worst rebrandings in wrestling to do, so loads to get into. He is Charlie_Beckett. I am Jack_Murley. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. We have to start, I think, with an apology to the people of France, because last week, before Backlash and SmackDown in France, we said, and although you said it, I think we can say we both agreed, I don't know what these European crowds will be like. Man, oh man, they were. What can be said?
I'm going to go back to my year 8 French here and say, je regrette, Francais. I am sorry, France. I believe what the kids would say was, I wasn't familiar with your game. And, oh, France, I was not familiar with your game. That crowd. Oh, but first for SmackDown on the Friday night, I was watching SmackDown, I was thinking, what are these maniacs going to do tomorrow night when they have a pay-per-view? And they went berserk from the first bell of the first match and didn't stop. They didn't stop.
It was the most insane crowd I have ever seen. It tops any post-WrestleMania crowd. It tops, I'm sorry, UK fans like us. It tops anything we've ever done. It tops anything in Chicago, Montreal, you name it. It was from bell to bell, start to finish, two consecutive nights, the hottest crowd I have ever seen.
The only thing I think that could ever say potentially beats it is the 5 minutes of Bad Bunny's entrance in Puerto Rico. But that was 5 minutes. For 3 hours, this crowd was at that level pretty much. I cannot explain enough how much they didn't stop for anyone who hasn't seen it. And also, if you listen to this podcast, you definitely have seen it. I don't know why I'm saying that. If you're listening to this and you haven't watched that, then I would really like to get in touch and work out where your index of what you watch and what you listen to comes.
Putting a hand up and going, what's a backlash? What are we
talking? Sorry, I'm a huge Earning the Push fan, but WWE? What? Is that a new company?
I think you're right, though. This is the thing. You can compare moments because CM Punk coming back at Rampage or coming back at Survivor Series, any of those Stone Cold pops from like 2000, 2001. Yeah, amazing pops. But this wasn't a pop. This was like the greatest party ever for 48 hours and you wanted to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know that when they take a show to France next, and I saw Triple H saying that during the show, Nick Khan texts him saying stadium? Which I love. You know the next time they go to France, I'll be trying to get on that Eurostar and get over there because I need to experience a French wrestling crowd now. I need to.
The thing is as well, and there's always one, I heard some people say, it was almost a bit too loud.
Ah, oh, bore off. Shut up. I don't want to hear that. Like, when crowds can ruin shows, they can take over, they can make it about themselves. This French crowd didn't make it about themselves. They were just having the best time in the world. It was pure, unadulterated joy for 3 hours. If you don't like that, I don't like you.
I think part of it is because I think some people didn't understand some of the chants, like because they were in French. And I think that phenomenal chant for AJ Styles was based on something particular to the French culture. And, you know, you can see some people looking in going, oh, I don't know what this is about. There's clearly some individual things going on. It didn't matter. If you can't get hyped about that, then this isn't your... Wrestling isn't your thing. Go watch something else.
It just made me smile and made me wish I spoke French. And I loved as well when there's... I was reading about it. When there's a near fall on a two count, they all shout something, don't they? And that's something that one of the French commentators does. And I was reading those, the two French commentators, the commentary team, have been the commentators for WWE in France for 20 years. And I was reading posts online of people saying, these guys are the voice of wrestling for me. Like JR and King and Michael, they aren't my voice because I'm a French fan. This is my Jerry Le King Lawler and JR. This is my Michael Cole. And these guys for 52 weeks a year normally sit in a booth and commentate over watching a TV screen. When they came out at the start, the ovation they got and clearly how incredibly emotional they were, that was almost my highlight of the whole show. These guys have been one of the, and it makes you think there are broadcast teams like that all around the world who for the fans in that country, they are the voice and they never get this moment. They never get the acclaim they deserve. And to see these guys get that genuinely like made me quite emotional seeing them finally get their flowers and get what they deserve and probably understand how beloved they are by that French audience.
My problem with this pay-per-view is I think we've just established the biggest risk to a London WrestleMania or a London Royal Rumble. I think
it's a Paris one. It's a Paris one.
Because you cannot look at that and say, oh, okay, yeah, but the UK deserves it more. The UK will be louder. The UK will make it more special. Because we can't. We can't match up to that. We might aspire to it next time. You know, Glasgow, we could be sitting here going, oh man, Glasgow blew Leon out the water, but you can't guarantee it.
Just, there's a very, very different culture in Great Britain and France. And the culture of the French people, I think, lends itself to the wildness and the rowdiness, probably more than our attitude to life does in England and in Wales, Ireland and Scotland, unfortunately. And you know what? I'd be gutted if we don't get if we don't have WrestleMania London first. I'll be gutted if that. And also, hearing Triple H say that his friend Sadiq Khan has been re-elected and they need to get the phone, it still blows my mind that these are things that are happening. Like, I can't quite fathom that. But obviously, I want it to be a WrestleMania London. But if there was a WrestleMania Paris or anywhere in France, you know, like I said earlier, I'd just be getting on the Eurostar or getting on a flight and I'd be going. And it would obviously be a little bit more expensive than travelling to somewhere in England because you can't just drive there. But I wouldn't begrudge that too much because what an incredible atmosphere and experience that would be.
You said, I think it was at the turn of the year, you know, we're getting this run of shows which aren't in America, that we're getting Backlash into Bash in Berlin. We didn't know Clash at the time, but, you know, we thought we'd be getting another show. And we were saying, that's going to be great. We're living it now. Like, we are living in such a blessed time for wrestling. This, our younger fans will not understand how bonkers it is. A Saturday pay-per-view is still mad, but European pay-per-views, Spanish pay-per-views, pay-per-views in Puerto Rico, like, it just didn't really happen.
It didn't, and it's amazing that it is, and I truly believe that they have, not accidentally, they've definitely thought of this, but they have struck gold here with what they, I hope, continue to do with Backlash. I never want to see a Backlash in America again, because we spoke about it last week. There's always that natural lull after WrestleMania. And the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania is normally a bit of a, dud's the wrong word, but there's never, you know, you're not going to get a big title change at it because you've normally just crowned new champions. It's a bit of a, we're playing for time before the next big one. You make these pay-per-views feel massive by taking them abroad. And Backlash is always the first one after WrestleMania. So let's just keep taking it to places where they love wrestling.
And if I'm AEW, Dan Layton from WrestleTalk tweeted this, AEW should consider doing something similar in the build to All In. It should do Glasgow, Manchester and Birmingham, whatever. Do three UK Dynamites back to back to back to build to All In. Why wouldn't you do that? Like, I could see Impact Wrestling, if they could afford it, coming and running shows over here, because the crowd, we realised it in the pandemic, and I think these international crowds are making us realise it more. The crowds are everything in wrestling.
Absolutely, mate. And I think WWE doing it and doing it well and showing the value in it surely has to pave the way for other companies to, like, say, if they can afford it. Obviously, there's big overheads to come abroad. And if you don't make the money back in ticket sales, in merchandise, etc., then it's a big loss. AEW can afford to take that risk. We know the money behind the company. And even, to the UK. But why wouldn't you see that? Why wouldn't you do a little mini European tour for 4 weeks beforehand? Go through Germany, France, head up to Scotland, and then do All in London. I just think AEW, we say a lot, needs to do something to compete with WWE at the moment because they're being left behind a little bit in numerous ways. And one way they can make it exciting again is take it abroad. WWE are showing that is a way to do this. So why wouldn't you? And you're bringing everything go for All In anyway. That is happening. make it 4 weeks, do a little 4 week tour and go to a few places and get there to be some real excitement around Dynamite those 3 weeks leading up to it.
So away from the crowd, which did steal the show, Backlash was, it's hard to separate it out, isn't it? It's hard to say, like, if you watch that show on mute, what would you be thinking of that show? And you'd say, yeah, really good, solid house show, right? Nothing bad at all on it. But then you put the sound on and it is the most sensational wrestling experience we've had in quite some time. And my God, we've had some amazing wrestling experiences.
Yeah, the crowd takes it from a perfectly solid pay-per-view to an all-time that we were talking about for a long, long time. I thought the swerve of Tonga Loa over Jacob Fatu was excellent. Also, making that match a street fight was just a stroke of genius because it was just 20 minutes of wild fun, which is what it needs to be. And even if it had been an okay crowd, a match like that gets them going. I think that gets them going. And they just didn't stop, like we said. But I loved the swerve of, I didn't even know who Tonga Loa was. Now I do. I love reading that they're worried about bringing Jacob Fatu in because they're worried he might be too good and might overshadow Solo Sikoa. That's why they keep delaying him.
Is that true? Also, is that what they're saying?
That's what I'm reading on the Dirt Sheets. They're saying they're worried they need to solidify Solo Sikoa as the absolute leader of the bloodline even more before they bring Jacob Fatu in because they're worried he's so charismatic and so good, people will start veering towards him. So it's a good problem to have, isn't it? Like, oh, you might be too good and we're worried about that.
I didn't know that Tonga Loa used to wrestle as Camacho way back
when. No idea. That passed me by.
That was, and what I like about this is it was a swerve that wasn't a swerve because, yeah, we knew someone, we suspected someone was coming, but we thought it was a different member of this incredibly fertile family that seemed to have cousins and brothers and half-cousins everywhere. I don't know how many there are left.
No, how many are there? Like, I love that big family tree, but there's more branches coming off it, isn't there? I also think the Anoa'i family, the bloodline, are keeping the zip-up black hoodie industry going all by themselves because you can't debut in anything but a black zip-up hoodie if you're a member of them.
I'd like the next one to come out like in like a blue cagoule and a hat like Paddington.
Just imagine they rebrand. We're going to talk rebrands again later. Jacob Fatu is rebranded as Paddington Fatu.
Just everything else is the same, like the same crowd reaction, but they think, just for once, we'll try without a black hoodie, and then it's just
I didn't work, lads. No, back to the black hoodie. That's fascinating. I think they've got I think we're pretty sure, aren't we, they're building to Bloodline 2.0 versus a regrouped OG Bloodline as faces. That is where we're going to, and War Games seems to be the place to do that, where you get, look at your face, you're excited for that already. You get Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, who are the Gorillas of Destiny, is their tag team name when they were in New Japan, and Jacob Fatu against, you'd think, Roman, the Usos and Sami Zayn, which that reunion will just be the most fun ever. However, I think they have an issue with what they do with single star Jey Uso, because you tell me that man isn't your most over babyface right now.
Yeah, he is, but I don't think that's an issue. I think you just make it like an all-star War Games. Like, I think it just elevates everyone. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with him dipping back into that bloodline storyline. I would be minded to have Jey Uso win King of the Ring. Like,
yeah, I could see that.
I could see that happening. Or maybe we're just in that era where you have so many baby faces at that top level and Jey is just always going to be at that level, but not necessarily. Would you put the world title on him?
No, I wouldn't. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's so there, but I wouldn't. And that's the tough thing. But his entrance, and you see him speak about it since of the France bringing the phones out for the Yeet thing. Very, very cool. And him saying it looked like the Fireflies and he felt like Bray's presence was there. That choked me up a little bit reading that. Yeah. It's an incredible time in WWE at the moment. Absolutely phenomenal.
I love, and we speak about storytelling in episodic. I love the little episodic touches they're dropping in just with the bloodline. Like,
oh, Paul Heyman's face. It does it all.
We were ready for the bloodline to be done at WrestleMania, but we were only ready for the Roman chapter to be done. And I love the fact where Heyman's saying, oh, yeah, I haven't spoken to Roman Reigns since whenever. And, well, isn't he meant to be authorized? Just that they're playing this story of a bloodline out of control perfectly. And that look that Jay and Heyman shared backstage, that was like the old brand split when they suddenly come
together. So question, if you're booking, where, when and how do you bring Roman Reigns back? And I haven't prepped Jack for this question, So this is on the spot.
I don't think I bring him back until War Games.
So you don't even do, yeah, you wait till the build-up Survivor Series and you build, you have him come in and be like, we've got to stop this and get the band back together, essentially.
I don't know how you do it, but I don't even want to see him. I, you know, like that Randy Orton build they did last year where it was hinted that it'll be Orton. I would do something similar to that. But then, mate, we've got to throw in, The Rock is still, like, he's going to be back at SummerSlam.
I don't think we see The Rock get involved at War Games because... what side would he be on? Like, if you want to build The Rock versus Roman, which is where it's got to go eventually, he somehow got to side with Solo's bloodline. So I don't know how you get... I would leave The Rock out of War Games.
But what I mean is he's floating around out there in the ether.
Yes,
so like,
yes, he's in the ether.
You're going to have to bring back Roman and The Rock at some point, which is a nice problem to have.
It is a nice problem to have. I think I wouldn't do it quite like Randy Orton because I think I want to see the slow build of... I don't want... Jay and Sammy to want to come back with Roman straight away. I don't want Jay to want to align with Jimmy. I want the slower. Do you remember when we had the Shield reunion between Dean and Seth and Dean took ages to come round to Seth and that moment when he came back? I want to have that sort of moment where they come back together, the four of them. I don't know how you get there. I don't know how I'd bring Roman back. I have no idea how I'd do it. But I feel like having that build and having them finally come back together about 2 weeks before War Games and then Regal just appear and shout War Games... that's what I'd like to see.
Would you... I can't believe we're booking War Games and it's May, but...
the 10th of May.
But would you... could you see a world in which it's Cody rather than Sammy? Because if you want to reunite enemies or you want to bring this unlikely band back together, that would intrigue me if Roman needed Cody.
I don't like it because that you've got a original four-man bloodline there. And... I cannot believe that Sami Zayn is a member of the original bloodline. I don't know how I will never understand how he got himself in there, both storyline-wise and in real life. I don't understand how he ever went to Rowan's pitched, you know, this all Samoan family you've got here, that it's all about, you're all related. I'm French-Canadian, and I'd like to be in it. I'll never understand how it happened, but it was one of the most blissfully brilliant accents that ever happened in wrestling, and I want to see that dynamic again.
And we've got so much road to run with Bloodline 2.0. We're going to talk Christian Cage, number one contender for the AEW World Championship in a bit. Kenny Omega as well. Some of your best and worst rebranding coming up on the show as well. King of the Ring in a tick. He's Charlie_Beckett. I'm Jack_Murley on the socials. Remember to rate, review and subscribe and get involved as so many of you do. Anything else on this show that stood out for you, Charlie? I mean, it was all good. It was all really good, but...
I think that main event, you put that match anywhere in the world on any show in front of any crowd, and it's a brilliant main event. I thought it was absolutely excellent. I feel like it was a I'm still here sort of performance from AJ Styles. Don't forget about me. I'm still one of the best in the world at this. And a great first title defense for Cody. I thought that was a brilliant main event that has kind of been passed over a little bit because we speak about the crowd mainly and how the whole show was brilliant. But that is a main event that could main event any show in the year, including WrestleMania. If your WrestleMania main event was AJ versus Cody, you'd be like, yeah, okay, I can get behind that. So I thought that was sensational, and I'm really enjoying the tease of there is disharmony in the Judgment Day.
Yes, there's a lot of disharmony. And JD McDonagh, who came out of this past week with Logan Paul's shoe imprinted on his forehead, like literally imprinted on his forehead, deserves his flowers for taking... a really nasty, gnarly shot. Speaking of nasty, speaking of gnarly, speaking of physical, Charlie Beckett must have prayed to Wrestling Santa for a summer gift because the King of the Ring qualifies for you. Ricochet versus Dragunov, Gunther versus Sheamus. Everything you love.
Gimme, 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 gimme more of this. Oh, it was just brilliant. So Ricochet Dragunov is a... they basically had an NXT takeover match. They had like a round, like the black and gold era takeover match on a random Monday Night Raw. That's what they did. It was brilliant. Ricochet keeps being phenomenal while losing. And interesting, I think he's teasing a heel turn on social media.
Yeah.
Because he just keeps saying enough's enough. What's the point? I think we're going to see a heel Ricochet, which will be interesting. Dragunov looks $1 million on the main roster straight away, doesn't he? First match, bleeding. Good to see. Hard way. Good to see.
Good as well that he's in there with Ricochet because size doesn't matter, but if it's your first match on the roster, you don't want to be putting him against someone who looks that much bigger visually to introduce him to new fans. It's sensible.
And he just looked like a maniac the way he was wrestling, which is kind of his character. He's the Mad Dragon. But then Sheamus and Gunther just said, "Ooh, Monday Night War. Do you fancy that? Sheamus's chest. And also, Sheamus's back." Oh my God. It was brutal. Absolutely brutal. But fascinating that Gunther cheated to win and that Kaiser got involved. I thought that was a very interesting little touch. I also really enjoyed Sheamus on social media being like, "There won't be a fourth. I'm not doing this again."
You can't blame him, but we know there will be a fourth. Like, when Sheamus has his retirement...
Yeah, at some point, they'll do it again, yeah.
They're going to retire each other, I'm convinced of it. But, I mean, just... I think if it was AEW, people might say, "Oh, well, you don't like random matches thrown together in AEW." And that's true, like, but these just felt right. And I think in that tournament setting, they've done a really good job, WWE, of making it feel prestigious enough. And these matches work, given the history in the past or the dynamics that it... Yet the story isn't anything more than it's a King of the Ring qualifier match or first round match, but it still works.
Yeah, there was reason for the matches. It was the bracket of the tournament. And also, Sheamus and Gunther have history. They have had two unbelievable one-on-one matches already and that triple threat at WrestleMania. There's plenty of history of Sheamus and Gunther that you dip into very easily, and they did on social media. So I think it was quite as random as you think. SmackDown's got a tough act to follow with their King of the Ring matches tonight, and unless I've missed it, I haven't seen their side of the bracket announced yet.
No, I haven't looked at it, so off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. But is Raw the A show again now? Do we think...
Oh, that's such a hard question,
I know,
Jack.
But doesn't it feel like Raw is... Like, they're doing a great job of building both, but Raw is just cooking right now.
I know, but Cody's on SmackDown.
I know.
There's just two great shows.
That's not a bad position to be in. AEW, let's talk a little bit about this, because we got some bad to get into in AEW's world, but not a criticism of AEW itself, just a really nasty situation.
Bad, just bad news, unfortunately, isn't it?
But before that, let's talk about Christian Cage, announced as the first contender for Swerve Strickland's AEW World Championship. Not necessarily something people would have foreseen. Certainly, we didn't pick Christian Cage as Swerve Strickland's first guy, but I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. Very credible challenger. He's Christian Cage. He's achieved everything in this sport. And he's also having maybe the run of his career on the mic at the moment. So I think it's a really, really good call. It'll be a good match. Swerve will obviously win. But it's a good, credible challenger, and it helps build him as a good champion. So this is a really, really strong and smart move from AEW to start this off.
You asked me a couple of weeks back who had the best second half of their career, Danielson or Shawn Michaels, and we've spoken about Edge previously having a good second half of his career, derailed by the pandemic. Christian Cage doesn't get into that conversation enough. We forget that in 2014, he was done. He had that one appearance at the Rumble in the Thunderdome, which was sort of, he went 20 minutes in, and then he jumped to AEW, and we forget that this guy had hung up his trunks.
Yeah, we do, and it's unfair on him because he's done nothing but brilliant work since he has come back. So he's having a really great run. He's definitely one of AEW's success stories of how he's rejuvenated, and it's such... What I've enjoyed so much is Christian Cage has been such a different character to Christian in WWE. I am interested in how they've got to... If they don't give us one last tag team title run of Christian and of Edge, Adam Copeland, then I think we've missed the trick. But I don't understand how we get there at the moment. But I would love to see that one more time.
Yeah, it still seems strange that it feels to me they did blow through the Cage Adam Copeland.
Yeah, it just seemed a bit rushed, didn't it? Like, the matches were great and the way the feud was done was fine. It just all seemed a bit fast.
It was a bit like, you probably won't remember this because I got a few years on you, but when Kurt Angle went to TNA and all the people wanted was Angle, Samoa Joe, and they did it in 3 months, 4 months, and then you're like, those were great matches, but... Like, did we really need it as quickly as we did? But anyway, that's not bashing AEW because Christian Cage, number one contender. The bad this week starts with Kenny Omega's situation in AEW. He revealed in Dynamite last week his struggle with diverticulitis, which we knew about, but perhaps not the extent. He needs major surgery, which may well include having to wear a stoma as part of his recovery. For those who don't know, that's a medical device sort of fitted to your stomach that helps folks who have had digestive intestinal issues. They did a hell of an angle on Dynamite, playing up that abdominal issue, and then the Bucks and Jack Perry and Okada got mega heat for it. But just for Kenny Omega the person, this sucks.
Yeah, this is just really sad for a number of points. So first of all, massive, massive credit to AEW for how they handled this. I thought they handled it very respectfully with that. And then to work an angle out of it, which is exactly you'd think what Kenny Omega would have wanted them to do, I thought they couldn't have done better with this if they tried. I thought they did a phenomenal job here. But the seriousness of the matter is horrible. Like, Kenny Omega's going to have hugely serious surgery that there's a very real chance he might not wrestle again because of. And that is a horrifyingly sad thing to say for, first of all, for Kenny the man, and then for AEW the company, and for wrestling fans, because you don't see a bad Kenny Omega match. You don't see a crowd not go wild when Kenny Omega's music hits. Kenny Omega is one of the best there is in this industry right now, and comes into the in the ring ever category. And if he has to retire not on his own terms before his time, that's just very, very sad.
And they handle it beautifully. And you know they handle it well when they had a run over. They did Dynamite and then into Rampage. And they did the angle. And then backstage, the Bucks flipped Kenny Omega off the stretcher. And I was going, they must have worked that out. That must have been agreed to. But that made me feel so uncomfortable knowing what he'd said. It just sucks that there's a world in which, you know, we've got still Danielson knocking about, Ospreay's come over, that we're never going to get Kenny Omega versus Adam Copeland, for example. But none of it sucks more than the fact this young man in the peak of his physical condition has been struck down by this nasty, nasty condition. It's just bad all round.
Yeah, it's just incredibly sad. And we just hope that he is healthy and makes recovery, first of all, for his health and that he's okay. And second of all, that he can get back in the ring.
Absolutely. Another bad I want to throw in is the price of tickets for Clash at the Castle, which just I think it's the price of doing business, and you can't blame businesses for making money, but I really feel for people when times are tight.
Yeah.
Get up, log on, want to go to Clash and take one look at the prices and just you can't do it.
I don't like it for a number of reasons, but the main one is when they did Clash in Cardiff, they did a stadium, which meant there was more seats, which meant we paid what I think was a very reasonable price for our tickets. I can't remember what it was, but I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm going to have to remortgage the house to do this. It was, okay, that's a fair bit of money, but it's fair for what I'm doing.
For a treat for what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like because they keep doing arena shows, they can charge more because there are 11,000, 12,000 people over there out here who will pay that much. And that really upsets me because actually, you could make the same money probably doing a 40,000 seater stadium and get more in. So, because I saw that feeding into this, the revenue for Backlash was the highest ever gate they'd taken for an arena. And there was only 12,000 in that arena. Now they run 18,000 and 19,000, 20,000 arenas all the time. So what must the Backlash prices have been as well? And that I don't think is a good move from WWE to be charging that much money just because they can. That is, It doesn't sit right with me. I understand it's business. I understand that. But just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No, but they're going to. And also, the flip side is, like you were saying, you can't necessarily blame him. You make your hay while the sun is shining. I just feel for... And the thing I don't like is the bundling together. You can get Clash if you go to SmackDown, but I don't love that. But let's turn a negative into a positive. If you've got some money in your pocket and you want to go to pro wrestling and you can't afford All In or Clash at the Castle, get to your local independent show.
Yes, please.
There are so many great promotions out there. True Grit, WAW, PWE, Progress, TNT. You've got so many places at Riot Cabaret, and I'm just listing the ones I follow on social media. Everyone else will have different ones where the stars of the future are. You will go, you will have a great time. It will cost you a fraction of what you'll pay for these, and you'll have a great time.
I went to, back in the late 20-teens, I went to a couple of WCPW shows when they were still going, and I saw Ricochet versus Ospreay. I saw Kurt Angle, I saw Alberto Del Rio, I saw Mustache Mountain before I knew they were. I saw Drew Galloway at the time win the world title in a steel cage. Like, you will see brilliant wrestlers you've never heard of, and then in 2 years, 3 years' time, you're like, oh, I saw them when they were under a different name, and you'll recognize them when they make it to the big time, because these guys start there. Very few wrestlers go straight to WWE, straight to AEW. They work the independents, and they're still the great wrestlers they are. You just don't know who they are yet, and you'll go and discover your new favorite. And the thing I love most about going to independent wrestling is everyone's there because they absolutely love wrestling. No one goes to an independent wrestling show by accident. You don't get whisked away because, oh, they're WWE coming to my town, so I'll go anyway. Everyone loves wrestling, and the crowd's always so much fun to be a part of, and you meet new people, and it's great.
And they've got their own storylines going on. I went to WAW's Fightmare, not as a commentator, just as a, you know, I was seeing my sister. I was in Norwich.
Great name for a show, by the way. Great name for a show.
And I was there, and I was like, I'm going to pay my money. I'm going to go watch it. It was amazing. There was an amazing ladder match, and there was a culmination of a story where a tag team called Insert Name Here finally won the gold. And they must have had 1,000 in, their biggest show of the year, and it was as good as anything I experienced at All In or Clash, because you just get caught up in it. Wrestling is wrestling, so if you can't get to one of the, quote, big promotions shows in the UK, get to one of those.
Absolutely.
Do you want to do some terrible rebranding for the ugly?
Absolutely, please.
So these have been sent in by yourselves. Jack_Merley, these have come to. He's Charlie_Beckett on the socials. This is Adam. Hard to beat Raw Underground. It was our discussion of Raw Underground last week that kicked this off. But how about the revived ECW kicking off on Sci-Fi with a zombie? That's hard to top.
That was a questionable move.
Were you watching wrestling then? Yeah,
I remember it. And it was, I was watching, but I didn't understand the history of ECW at the time. So I didn't really get what ECW was until as an older person. What am I saying?
An older person that I am now.
When I got older, I did the research. I was like, oh, that must have upset a lot of people.
Think how upset you were about NXT 2.0. Mm. And then imagine if NXT 2.0 had kicked off with a zombie.
The problem was as well, they'd just shown what ECW could be with One Night Stand.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, the back of that, we'll make it a third brand. Zombie.
Terrible, terrible. Good shout, Adam. James says, does anyone else remember when Shelton Benjamin went from being an all-star athlete to a mama's boy, complete with an actual mama? Mama Benjamin.
I remember, and as a child, I thought it was hilarious. Looking back, did you? Yep, looking back, not how I would have used Shelton Benjamin.
That was one of the moments where, and we've all probably had that, when you watch wrestling, you're living at home, and your parents come in, and they're like, what is this? And you can explain a Shawn Michaels Undertaker match, or you can explain the pop of a Stone Cold.
Yeah.
It's one of those awkward moments you can't explain. Yeah. Amy says, Santino Marella to Santina Marella. Enough said.
Yeah, let's not get into that. That was a terrible across so many arenas.
Have any of these convinced you that NXT 2.0 rebranding wasn't the worst? Because that was your sort of hill you were on last week.
No, I think because of my love for NXT Black and Gold, NXT 2.0 is, in my mind, the worst. I think there are others that are more concerning. As we said last week, Chavo Guerrero becoming...
Kerwin
White is worrying for a number of reasons that we won't go into. Santino becoming Santina, equally as worrying reasons. Everything that's been mentioned here, and Raw Underground, you mentioned last week, they're all hideous. But because of my love for NXT, when that became NXT 2.0, it just broke me.
This isn't a rebranding, but this has just come to me, and it sort of falls into that category. Do you remember when briefly Batista and John Cena were drafted to the same brand, or were on the same brand, and Teddy Long said, I'm going to do a SmackDown Championship, and JBL won the SmackDown Championship, and the championship never even came out of the bag? Because Teddy Long was like, oh no, someone's been drafted to SmackDown, and Batista came out and the World Championship ended up on Raw. But they were competing for this championship that never even came out of the bag.
It rings bells, yeah. That's also, I'm not sure how good JBL's rebranding was.
Oh, what?
It's an interesting conversation. You obviously had great success as JBL, not Bradshaw, but the character of Bradshaw was a lot more fun.
I don't know. Like, this probably speaks to both of us. Like, you liked him because he was a beer-drinking ass-kicker.
Well, by the way, want to go on record, I don't like JBL. I don't think he's a particularly great human from what I see. And also, he blocked me on Twitter because I once told him that he'd made a rugby reference. It was wrong, and I replied in a very polite way. He just blocked me straight away.
Oh, now the truth comes out. Okay, yeah. If anyone who's blocked Charlie is an enemy of mine, so Bradshaw, yes. JBL...
Get out, JBL, we hate you.
We're like the worst acolytes ever. Like,
yes. Yes.
Okay, that's been fun. Right, let's do everyone's favourite part of the podcast. Earning the Push and Back to Developmental. I'm going first this week, and I'm only doing one. I'm doing Earning the Push, and it is you, my man.
I thought you were going to do this, and you don't need to.
Well, I'm going to, because if you follow Charlie on social media, he has announced that after a stellar rugby career that has taken him to many clubs in many places where he's achieved many great things, the boots are being hung up, as a professional rugby player, although the interest in rugby is only just beginning. It's not going anywhere. There's lots on the horizon there. But your playing career is at an end. I have watched you play. I've commentated on you play. I know your passion for the game. You've achieved an amazing amount in the game, and you have been a fantastic ambassador for the sport and will continue to be. So you are my earning the push and your playing career.
Thank you, mate. That's very kind. I have two more games left, and I aim to thoroughly enjoy them both. But no, that's very, very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Can I make a... I love how awkward you get in this compliment.
I hate this. I hate it so much.
Can I take some of your old footage of games and make you a Ric Flair Leave the Memories Alone style video?
If you want to. I mean, you've got better things to do with your time. If that's how you'd like to spend it, then yes, you are more than welcome to
I want you to make an Old Yeller reference. I want this to be a swerve. I want like you to slap someone in the face and go...
If you see me walk out in a salmon jacket for the last game, you know what's happening.
That's what this is all is. Charlie's gone Mark Henry with his retirement. So, no, but I'm going to have to find a new way to introduce you because it's been professional rugby player for years. Now what?
Unemployed Charlie Beckett.
So you and my earning the push. Go on, I'll stop making you feel uncomfortable. What are yours?
My earning the push is I had the absolute joy of seeing Bruce Springsteen live this last week. And it was the first time I've been back to Millennium Stadium since we went to Clash. So that was cool. And the roof was closed. And it was just one of the best atmospheres I've been a part of. I have loved Bruce Springsteen for a long time. My dad drove me around the country for all my rugby as a junior player. And when you get quite high in the junior ranks, there's a lot of driving to be done. And I reckon about 50% of the time it was Bruce Springsteen that was on. So we became very big. Well, he already was. I became a very big Bruce Springsteen fan. I got to go with my dad, which was brilliant. And we had an absolutely electric time. Bruce Springsteen is unbelievable. The
what
man
does he
came
start
on.
With? What does he open with?
Something I'd never heard of. He has such a big back catalogue that I'm a big Bruce fan. Half the songs I didn't know because he's got 50 years worth of songs to go into, and he just sings whatever he fancies. So he does his big ones, but the rest of them, he just sings what he fancies. He did one song that was requested in the crowd. He said, "I haven't sung this one live in 30 years, but here we go." I just knew it. So it was phenomenal. And the man is 74 years old. He came on at 5 to 7 and he finished at 2 minutes to 10 and he did not stop. And I mean, he didn't stop at any point in those just over 3 hours. So absolutely phenomenal.
That is what true artists do. God, this speaks to us both. I saw Dolly Parton. When I was for a couple of years, for reasons that are best known to the BBC, the BBC's Glastonbury reporter. And she,
excellent.
She was the same. She came, she didn't do 3 hours, but she did the legend set. And they are such pros. They probably like Springsteen, comes on, bashes out all the hits, not a hair out of place, just perfect. And you just think they are icons. So I'm very jealous you got to see him.
I'm actually seeing him again this summer.
You're joking.
I'm seeing him at Wembley as well.
You're a Springsteen groupie.
Yes, I know. One of my friends was there with her dad. And her dad, that was the 37th time he's seen him.
Yeah, but...
he's going, are you ready for this? 6 more times this summer, because this is the last time he'll be over here. So he's seen him across Europe 6 times this summer.
That is next level. That's next level. What's not been so good in your week?
Why do people use anything but Zoom? I've had meetings this week on Microsoft Teams, and there's nothing wrong with Microsoft Teams, by the way. Microsoft Teams is a very, very good program. And it worked perfectly. But I was just sat there like, why aren't we using Zoom?
Well,
I don't understand why anyone doesn't use Zoom. I would rather use Zoom, and that is it. Just use Zoom, guys.
And wait till Google Meetups enters.
I've done one Google Meet, and that really confused me as well. So can we all just use Zoom, please?
An impassioned message from Zoom. Yeah. Zoom Ultra, Charlie.
That's actually my new job. I'm being employed to promote Zoom.
Just subtly as an influencer for Zoom. Yeah, no, yes. I'm with you. Zoom has been a game changer.
We do all our podcasts on Zoom. This is how we do them.
Yeah, and we've tried other things. They're not as good. Maybe we should get Zoom as sponsors.
That would be good. That would be good.
Right. One last question for you as we wrap this one up. Cody Rhodes beats AJ Styles. Where's Cody Rhodes go next? Because we got the... The thing is, The Rock is out there. The Rock is clearly the big challenger for him. So are we just in a holding pattern for Cody where we're just bunging people up against him who he's going to beat?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. Not one I've particularly thought about, actually. I think if you can, you do Rock Cody at SummerSlam. But I don't think you're going to be able to because The Rock's about to go into film this new MMA film that he's talking about a lot on his social media. So I don't see how that aligns. He can't risk getting injured in the middle of that, can he? So I don't really know. No one springs. There's loads of brilliant matches for him to have, but no one springs to mind immediately. I'm still not 100% sure who's on SmackDown with this brand split. I won't lie. So I'm still waiting to see who's knocking about.
Can I give you a couple of names then?
Yeah, hit me.
I suspect on SmackDown tonight, it will be LA Knight.
Yeah, can see that.
I think LA Knight will be the next guy for Cody because that is a good level for both of them. And I'm going to say, can Logan Paul? Is Logan on Raw?
I don't know.
He must be on SmackDown because Sami Zayn's on Raw.
Is he on Raw? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he must be. By the way, we didn't mention that. I love what they're doing with the Intercontinental title at the moment. And please bring Kurt Angle back to manage Chad Gable. Thank you very much.
We didn't mention Drew McIntyre and CM Punk.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's so much fun.
And how has he got locked in? How did CM Punk get locked in the building?
Do we think that was a work?
No.
Because it was hilarious. I really enjoyed it. But either way, it was excellent. Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, brilliant. That has to be a SummerSlam match. I think it has to be if you can get to that. Who does Cody go to? I don't know. I'm not worried. I don't know because WWE's so brilliant everywhere at the moment. I'm fascinated to see where Bron Breakker ends up in all this as well. He's floating about because you want to put him up there. I'd be tempted to have him go up there with Cody and really push him close and somehow Cody just get the win, but announce Bron Breakker as a proper main event level from the off.
Yeah.
Like he's squashing people at the moment, isn't he? Just chuck him with Cody. I don't want to beat Cody, but there's definitely a way you can do that where Cody wins and they both come out looking good.
I could see that as well. I would take LA Knight or Bron Breakker. Well, look, we shall see. Remember, you can rate and review and subscribe this podcast if you love wrestling, if you love what we do, wherever you listen. He's Charlie_Beckett on the social. I'm Jack_Murley. And although we've not been as rowdy as a French crowd in Lyon, we are out of time. We'll see you next week. Until then, enjoy your wrestling week and bye-bye.